Okay, thank you, Chairman. In December last year, the General Energy Council of the Netherlands and the Vrom Council of the Netherlands published a joint advice called Energy Transition, a Climate for New Opportunities. And it is discussing the lack of sustainability in the present energy economy, the need for a change, inspired especially by the risks involved, risks that are debated also in the state of the world. And you might say that in this report, and I was the chairman of the committee that prepared this report, an English translation will be published, at least of the extensive summary, within a few weeks, that the conclusions and insights and recommendations to a certain extent, or to a large extent, agree with the views and comments and suggestions presented in the state of the world. However, there are also a number of discrepancies, and I will focus a little bit on these discrepancies, because that might clarify what the present situation in reality is. And I want to start with a phrase from the report, The State of the World, 2005, and I will focus on the changing of the oil economy, chapter number 6. And the message is more or less given in the following sentences. The costs and risks of using oil can be grouped into three broad categories. First, oil threatens global economic security because it's a finite resource for which no clear successor has been developed and because the gap between supply and demand appears to be growing, making the world vulnerable to serious economic shocks. Second, oil's value as a commodity undermines civil security by compromising efforts to achieve peace, civil order, human rights, and democracy in many regions. Third, oil threatens climate stability because its use, which is accelerating, accounts for a major share of the global greenhouse gas emissions, and because its overwhelming dominance of the transportation fuel market makes it difficult to replace. In short, where oil once helped ensure human security, it now makes us more vulnerable. And another citation summarizing the view on oil reads as, oil is such a mixed blessing that it has been called the devil's tears. Although I have also a lot of comments, and an important comment from my perspective is that the report is too pessimistic on the ultimately recoverable amount of oil. I think that the amount that can be recovered is much larger than suggested in this report, and also the suggestion that we will achieve a peak in the production of oil within a decade and then a decline on a global level, I think that's one view that is expressed in the literature. It's the view of a minority, but there is a view of a majority also in the scientific world, for example, also represented by the World Energy Council, that there is lots of oil still there. And one reason of the discrepancy is that I would say the report is focusing too much on the conventional resources and not enough taking into account the unconventional resources, heavy oils, heavy crude oils, tar sands, and oil shales. Another point is that the development of technology has been tremendous and still can be tremendous. And as a result, for example, the recoverability of oil fields can improve heavily, especially in the Middle East. In our view, it should be possible that instead of recovering, let's say, about 30% of the oil from many of these fields, sometimes 35%, it should increase, it should be possible to increase it to 50%, maybe 60%. So I think that the view on the amount of oil that is available in principle is a little bit too pessimistic. On the other hand, there are many issues that have to be addressed to guarantee the security of supply. That's also stated in the document of the From Council and the Energy Council. Especially our dependence on oil is tremendous, especially our dependence of oil coming from politically instable regions. So we have to look for alternatives. There is even another risk or uncertainty not described in the report, and that is, in our view, also a problem, and that is the lack of education of skilled people that know how to develop an oil well and to extract the maximum amount of these wells. It is a problem in the Netherlands, and it's a problem especially in the Western world, I would say. So the lack of technicians that are able to do that. And that is an additional threat to the security of supply. The report also doesn't discuss always or hardly the possibilities of using gas or coal for making fuels that can be also used in the transportation sector. And I think that that should deserve some attention. There is a lot possible, especially also when discussing the hydrogen economy, as indicated in the report, that should be the future of our energy economy. I'm not certain about that yet. I think there will always be, electricity and heat, but also other fuels that can be produced, for example, from biomass. So what exactly the future of hydrogen will be, at least on the short term, is very unclear. And on the long term, I think there is a future, but besides other energy carriers. And fossil fuels will be then a major source to produce this hydrogen under the condition that it is combined with the recovery of CO2 and the storage of CO2 in the underground. And there is a box in the report discussing this option of CO2 capture and storage. A report on that option will be published later this year by the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, giving a special report with all the experts involved. And in my view, the report is the state of the world. 2005 is a little bit too pessimistic and too negative about this option. For example, the costs involved are estimated too high, and the risks involved are probably estimated too large. And the potential to store CO2 seems to be in aquifers, for example, in depleted oil fields and coal fields, seems to be quite tremendous. So it's certainly an option that deserves attention when looking for solutions for the climate change problem. Because as indicated before, also this afternoon, fossil fuels will be with us for at least a number of decades. And when developing this carbon capture and storage option, it would also help, I suppose, to bring on board, when addressing the climate change issue, the oil countries, the gas exporting countries, and the coal countries, including China, for example. I agree with the report that when looking to do security issues, that energy efficiency improvement should have a major focus. And the potential of energy efficiency improvement is tremendous and maybe even larger than indicated or suggested in this report. In our view, it should be possible to improve the energy efficiency with a factor of 4. That means that we can have our economic system running as it is at present with about a quarter, 25% of the present energy consumption. That requires, of course, policy development, it requires research research activities, and it can be achieved probably within a period of about 50 years. So there's a huge potential that should be explored. Another issue, of course, that should deserve attention, that is the further development of renewables. And also there we know that in principle the renewables can generate much more energy to be used by mankind than we are using at present, in terms of wind energy, solar energy, biomass energy. In the Western Europe, we have to focus mainly, I think, on wind and on biomass, but at least in southern countries, sunny countries, solar energy is also a very important energy source. Unfortunately, it is still quite expensive, and unfortunately, it still needs a lot of R&D for further development. And what we can see on a global level, that the spending on R&D, energy R&D, is decreasing already since the year 1975. So the present spending on energy R&D is about half the amount that was spent globally in the year 1975. And still about half of it is focusing on nuclear energy, as has been the case in all the years. So I would say a shift in the amount of spending on R&D, and also a shift in the focus of the spending of R&D, especially on renewables and on energy efficiency improvement, would be wise. And in addition, I would say we have to focus also on the clean use of fossil fuels much more than we have done in the past. It is an option that is quite new, as indicated by Chris already, but that's in the context of the climate change debate. We are taking the climate change issue seriously, you might say, since about 1990. So since about 1990, the clean use of fossil fuels is also getting much more attention than it got so far. And if you see to the global activities in these areas, I would say it's impressive. And it is a major step in reducing the climate problem, at least for the coming decades. And on the longer term, of course, solar energy, wind energy, biomass energy, these kind of hydrogen of hydropower, these kind of options deserve a role and will play a role in my view, because of the tremendous possibility to reduce cost that is still there. Then we have nuclear. Can we exclude nuclear in the near future? In the report, it's indicated that also the nuclear fuel cycle consumes fossil fuels and therefore emits CO2. And it's more or less suggested that that's one of the reasons why we should not focus on nuclear. When I look to the figures that are presented in the report, I would say there are other studies indicating that the indirect emissions are much lower than suggested in the state of the world. Also, well, it is an issue, but in my view, in the climate change debate, this is not an important issue. We can use and generate a lot of energy from nuclear in principle with much lower CO2 emissions. On the other hand, you can ask yourself the question whether nuclear energy can play a role when we want to have a sustainable future. So then it means that we have to develop criteria under which maybe nuclear can play a role. It's my view that present day technology, nuclear technology, is not sustainable. But it might be that we can develop, and there are indications already in practice, new technology, new nuclear technology, that can fulfill certain sustainability criteria. And one criteria could be the issue of, for example, safety of power plants. Would it be possible to develop power plants that are what is called inherently safe, such that the meltdown, like we have seen in Harrisburg, or let's say an explosion as we have seen in Chernobyl, can't happen because of physical reasons? And it seems to be that there is a small reactor under development at present in China, the so-called pebble bed reactor, that may fulfill these criteria. So that would be an optimistic sign for nuclear. On the other hand, we have the safety, the waste issue that still is, I would say, unsolved. So a lot of attention might be given to solve that problem as well. And the most important problem, in my view, with nuclear is proliferation. And I can imagine that we can develop some technology that would reduce the proliferation risks, but not certainly not completely. So when switching to nuclear and increasing the nuclear energy use, let's say with a factor of 10, would imply a tremendous, in my view, increase in the risk of proliferation, misuse of nuclear materials, and sabotage. So this issue should be addressed. We should develop sustainability criteria, how to handle nuclear fuels, and how to handle nuclear technologies before a further expansion of, in now, in my view, of nuclear capacity should take place. Well, these are some comments I wanted to make on the oil chapter. Thank you.